Well, praise the Lord. We are glad to have each one of you here in the house of the Lord this morning. I have some good news, and then I have some good news. Amen. It has stopped snowing, and Jesus is alive. And I am personally grateful for both. Yes, I got a hallelujah. I'm sure I could get at least a couple of amens. There's one. Amen. There you are. Praise God. Well, it's good to have each one of you here today. We just, you know, I was so blessed while Haas and I were playing music, you know, but when we came to worship practice this morning and found out that, you know, Cody was going to be absent and Aaron was going to be gone and all that, you know, I just looked at Haas and said, hey, we'll do the best we can, you know. But you know what? Listen really carefully. How many of you felt the presence of the Lord while we were worshiping? You want to know why? Because it's not about the musicians. It's not about how well we, I mean, you could play on one string and a juice harp. And as long as you are making a joyful noise unto the Lord, it's about Him. He inhabits the praise of His people. Amen. And so when we begin to lift Him up, He just naturally comes down and gets involved. And I love that. Amen. Praise God. I am so delighted this morning to be able to turn the podium to Chuck and ask him just to come and minister to us this morning. I ask you to open your hearts to what the word of the Lord has laid on his heart to deliver to us. And I have no doubt this morning that you're going to be blessed. Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Give him an Elevation Worship Center.
Amen. God bless you, my buddy. Appreciate you. Hey, bottle of water.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, good morning. I'm going to fiddle with this for just a minute. Sorry, Brooke. There we go. All right. I told her before service I want the Morgan Freeman voice. And I was concerned I was going to get the Mickey Mouse one. So up here it sounds closer to Morgan than Mickey, so I'm okay with that. Well, good morning. Let me say, first of all, how, wow, it's fun coming home to Elevation. It's awesome. You guys have been, you know, if you knew what a blessing God has given you and your pastors, dude, it's awesome. See, I'm not on my notes yet, so I can say dude. Yeah, buddy. But no, we appreciate the love and the support that we had in our time here, and it's just been good. Pastor texted me Friday, one of those days, and he's you know texting, oh, we're excited, you know, it's been one of those weeks, and I'm excited that you're going to be there. And I texted back and I said, I was going to text you last night because I was going over the message and I just got excited and I wanted to text you, but I didn't. So I probably should have. So it's just, you know, one of those things. I'm excited about what God is doing in Elevation, and I see faces that I haven't seen here before. So that's awesome. That is a good thing. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to try and make sense of this. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Burton Hillis, who was the one of the editors for Better Homes and Gardens, had written this little story. He said, sympathy is extended to good neighbors Jack and Elizabeth McInnes. Their genie, having been naughty and duly scolded, was invited to ask the blessing at lunch. She prayed, thank thee, Lord, for preparing a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And let's start at verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And it was so when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Sounds kind of good. That's like Fig Newtons. I'm already getting hungry. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, boy, listen to this. How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father, dig, and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Then Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Wow. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place that we've already felt. God, we pray as we get into this word, into this message, God, that you would help us to see, God, the importance of daily thanksgiving. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for these people who have gathered. And we thank you, God, for this time to just to receive from you. We pray, God, that you would speak to hearts. I can only speak to ears, Lord. You have to speak to hearts. So I pray that you would move in your own special way. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as we look now at David, we see a man who understandably is very grateful for what God has performed in the return of the ark to Israel. The ark, if we look back to chapters before, had been held captive by the enemy for some time. And if we even read about the house of Obed-Edom was being blessed because the ark was there. And then David said, how come it's there and not where it ought to be? The ark had been held captive, and for some time Israel regained possession, sort of. But it was never really in the right place. So David had an opportunity to do so, to put it back where it belonged. And after the first unsuccessful attempt, which we read in the earlier part of the chapter, and the death of Uzzah, because the rite wasn't done correctly, and God was basically insulted, and he dealt with it. So this wasn't fast. We just read that they would take six steps and sacrifice. And they'd take another six steps and sacrifice. You thought driving here in the snow took a while. Take six steps and sacrifice. And take six more steps and sacrifice. So as David is seeing the fruition of all the great and arduous labors taking place, he's overcome with a spirit of thanks and praise. And as the excitement of the moment increases, his ability to contain it decreases until in an exuberant display, he can't take it anymore. There in front of the priests and the musicians, the singers, the servants, and especially before the Lord, he expresses his love and adoration to Almighty God for what he has performed among his people. And we read it in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, Psalm 105, and Psalm 96. In fact, let's do that. Go to 1 Chronicles, just a few pages back. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the Psalm of David in verse 7. 1 Chronicles 16, 7, on that day, David first delivered the psalm into the hand of Asaph and the brethren to thank the Lord. He said, hey, musicians, all two of you, let's sing this one today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And it just goes on for another, all the way to verse 36. And he ends with, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. He danced and he sang with joy. An expression his was, as verse 14 of 2 Samuel 6 points out, it was a dance with all his might. The scene was one of beauty and glory and triumph and joy, of victory and exaltation and elation until. There, peering out her window down onto the procession is Michal, the wife of David. So as the Ark of the Covenant, this symbol of the very presence of God, is enters into view, she sees off in the great distance something that looks a little familiar. Something about the way he looks. There's something about his clothing, about his hair, about the way he moves. There's something about that, but no, that can't be. Because surely he knows that wouldn't be him. Why would he do that? He knows his position. He knows the protocol that should be. That can't be him. That can't be the great king of Israel. And it was. And look what it says in verse 16. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she was a bit miffed. My translation, New King James here, says she despised him in her heart. Now, Michal's been through a lot in her life. If we read in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we'll read about the dowry that was paid for Michal. I won't go into what it was now. Read it in at your leisure. Read it with caution. So they were married and life continued. So let me also point out that Michal had originally a strong attraction to David. In fact, in 1 Samuel says that she loved him. Now, this is the same Michal who, when Saul was ready to kill David, opened up the back window and let him sneak out. So there was something going on. So in this time of arranged marriages, of marriages of convenience, marriages of diplomatic expediency, in this time for the scripture to say that she loved him meant something. And even during that time, while David was running, Saul said, hey, if I can't kill David, I'll at least give his stuff away, and gave Michal to Paltiel as a wife. So after all of that, it's, you know, as the great theologians of a past generation, the Righteous Brothers, would say, she had lost that love and feeling. I was hoping somebody would do that. I really was. That's awesome. So, good story. That's awesome. That's nice. So, what's that got to do with us here at Elevation Worship Center? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. There can be times when you are at what seems like the end of the world as everything is crashing around you. It may seem like God has left you or he just doesn't seem to be where he belongs in your life. And then, miraculously, he begins to move in your direction. Things are falling into place. This time you're doing things the right way, and God is honoring that with his presence. And you see that his divine providence is causing things to materialize in your life, and things are happening for you, and the excitement builds. And families and relationships are being restored, and the excitement builds. And health and well-being are being cultivated, and the excitement builds. Provision and plenty are becoming evident in your life, and the excitement builds. And those around you rejoice with you at the providence and the protection of God, and the excitement builds until you can't handle it anymore. Now, let me say this. We're all different. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God we're different. We all express our excitement differently. Some of us, by our nature, are soft-spoken and calm. Some of us, by our nature, are exuberant. Some of us are like the old hound dog on the front porch, laying in the sun, while others are like the cocker spaniel who doesn't even stay still while he's asleep. God made us all different. Some of us like Cadbury eggs, while some of us realize it is a trick of the enemy of our souls to fill something of goodness with lies and deceit, and that only the devil himself could take what is holy and corrupt it by changing the good things that God has created and ruining like that. Now, you may not feel as strongly about that as I do, but God made us all different. We don't express our joy the same. But here in this passage, David could not contain his excitement anymore and had to kick up his heels. So here in 2 Samuel, we have David dancing and whirling and singing in praise to Jehovah when Michael catches a glimpse of him. Two things have caused Michael to have that attitude. There's probably more. But for our purposes this morning, two things. First of all, I think she might have been a little jealous because it was her father, Saul, who should have done that. After all, it was during Saul's reign that the ark was taken and things were put out of place. It should have been her daddy dancing with exuberance before the Lord. Her daddy was the one who should have been repairing those cracks in Israel's superstructure. Her daddy should have been the one to unify Israel. That should have been her daddy down there, but it wasn't. It was God's replacement for her daddy. And that's what David said in verse 21. David said to Michael, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your daddy." One man said that a good neighbor is a fellow whose garden you can view with anticipation instead of jealousy. As Michael looked out the window, she was not viewing with anticipation or excitement of what God was bringing to fruition in Israel. She was seeing what should have been someone else's. And that leads me to the second point. That is, that I believe she had lost the sense of joy that would have allowed her to celebrate with the others. Her own personal pain became so great that it engulfed her, choking out what should have been an opportunity to rejoice. Many times there will be those who out of their pain can literally sap your strength when you're around them for very long. Maybe you know those kind of people. Maybe you're sitting next to one of those, just look straight ahead. It's safer that way. You know the type, they walk into the room and it's as if all of everything, all the air is sucked out of the room and everything, just kind of the energy level of everything just kind of drops a couple of notches. And I think that may be what happened to Michael. She allowed situations to dictate her actions, and as a result, she squelched what the Lord would have done in her. But what was David's reaction to all of this? And that's the main point that I want to get to in our next few minutes. Not too much longer. Here we have David dancing with all his heart before God. He's singing praises and he's carrying on. He's rejoicing. And now suddenly after ministering to God in his praise and after ministering to the people and giving the loaves of bread and the meat and the raisin cakes and the fig Newtons, he comes home to bless his household. Now, Thanksgiving is not just a once a year thing we do every fourth Thursday of November. It should be a daily thing. And I thank God for, even what Andy was saying this morning about thanking God for what we have, where we are, what we're rejoicing. We rejoiced at the removal of cancer from someone. We thank God for those kinds of things. It should be a daily thing. It's not just something we do on Sundays at church. It has to happen at home too. Now, David had a choice. He could succumb to the pressures of his wife and apologize for excitement and praise to God, or he could continue despite the circumstances. And that's what he chose. So, what are you thankful for today? What has God done that causes that spring in your step? What has he brought you this last year? How has he provided for you and your family this week? What miracles has he done in your life over the last month? Has he done anything for you? Has he saved you? Do you know where you would have been without him? Has he restored the glory in your life? Praise him. Has he provided for your needs? Praise him. Has he given protection in time of storm? Praise him. Has he granted strength and health and length of days beyond the doctor's expectations, those 3 weeks that extended to 6 years and beyond? Praise him. Has he come through when you weren't sure where the next dollar would be? Praise him. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." When the enemy tries to tell you to be quiet and control yourself, that you're getting too radical, praise him. When adversity comes to squelch out our thanks for what God has performed and is performing and is going to perform in our lives, praise him. There we go. I'm going to give you one more chance. When adversity comes to squelch out our thanks for God for what he has performed, is performing, and is going to perform in our lives, praise. Very good. Let us have the same attitude as David had when he said in verses 21 and 22, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." David understood this principle. When those around you see the excitement and the fervor of your thanksgiving, they will stand up and take notice. Don't be bogged down by the Michaels in your life. Express your praise to God. Let the Michaels in your life, or tell them, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think this was wild? Just wait until my next blessing comes along. You think I'm noisy now? Just wait until that kid I've been praying for comes back. You think my dance is a little over the top now? Just wait until he takes me through this next storm and shows up and shows off. Look at your neighbor and tell him, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's all I got. That's it. I'm telling you, I was reading it last night, just kind of making sure that I didn't have any misspellings. It could happen. Or interesting spellings, anyway. And I was just getting excited just reading it last night. So, can I tell you something? Stuff really stinks sometimes. Life has a way of getting ugly and yucky and nasty, but God. How many can say, but God? Yeah. Amen. How many have had one of those times when it was a but God kind of moment? I'm going to turn it back to the pastor. I'm done. I ain't got nothing better to say.
He said, that's all I got. How many of you know that's good stuff? Amen. Amen. The Bible said, let everything that has breath, everybody take a deep breath. You're a candidate. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I am telling you, you know, sometimes, you know, I am a conundrum, if you will. At home, I'm just a quiet, you know, kind of guy. I'm, don't really raise my voice unless it's football, and then I'll holler. But I'm quiet. I'm, you know, peaceful. And then I get in the pulpit and go, Murr! And then I just can't help it. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, that's a good word. That is a good word. God inhabits praise. There's power in praise. Some of us have prayed about some things and prayed about some things and we haven't got a breakthrough. Amen. Let me just encourage you. Quit praying about it and start praising for it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And when the praises of God go up, I'll tell you what happens sometimes. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are sitting in jail with blood running down their backs. They'd been stripped and beaten and they had been thrown in the inner prison. But the Bible said at midnight they prayed and they sang praises unto the Lord. And when they begin to praise, God come down. I've always said God was the author of the first jailhouse rock. God came down and shook the prison with an earthquake, and the chains fell off, and the doors opened up, and they went free. Amen. Amen. There's freedom in your mouth this morning if you just praise the Lord. Amen. And don't let some old stuck in the mud, you know, hold your praise back, right? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, if you will, please. We're going to be dismissed this morning. Good, good word. Will you just give Chuck a hand clap of appreciation and let him know you appreciate the word this morning? Amen.